Does this thing have to be here? Really, does it? It sort of scares me when I'm looking at myself.
Imagine how we feel.
Yeah. I know that. I told my wife this morning, pray for me. Then I told her, I said, you better be praying for the other people. Brother Isaac said, I've tried to preach for 49 years. It's one of my pastor's friend, old pastor friend, he was already preached 50-something years, and he said, you know, his wife was, he always called her Sister Martha. Sister Martha's been waiting 50-something years for me to preach a message. And I'd say maybe the way my wife is, maybe she's still waiting on that time when I preached the first message. I preached there when Brother Troy Tankersley, that's when I surrendered to preach. Brother Troy Tankersley and Liz were here. Y'all, some of y'all remember it, most of you don't. They're both dead and gone now. They were good to me. Brother Troy said, you know, I surrendered to preach on, I think, a Sunday night. He said, you'll preach for us next week, won't you? And I thought, are you joking? He said, well, if you surrender to preach, you need to preach. And so the next week on a Wednesday night, I think it was when I preached my first message. And I'd planned that message, and I looked that message over, and I looked at it, and I wrote it out, and looked it over and rewrote it. And I practiced it, and it's going to last 20 to 25 minutes. In about 10 minutes, I've done. And that's the shortest message I ever preached. It's sort of like I'm not like a lot of the young preachers. You know, when I was a young preacher, I could preach a message real quick. I talked a lot faster. I had a lot more breath than I do now. And I'd preach real fast. And 20 minutes was about my message length. The older I got, the longer it took. I said, my computer up here is what's the problem. It goes around a lot slower. And therefore, I can't get the words out that I want to get out that fast. How many old people have that problem? Every one of them, yes. I see some young people have already having that problem. But God has blessed me. I'm thankful for what the Lord has allowed me to do. I have pastored 10 different churches in 49 years. You said, well, you didn't last very long in some churches. You're right. Some churches were a long time, I thought. I tried to move on when God said to move on. I feel like every church I pastored had a better understanding of God's word when I quit. They were spiritually better. Almost every one of them was financially better off. And most of them was materially, far as buildings, better off, because everywhere I went, I usually built something, or either that, added on, or cleaned it up. Some churches I've been into, where they've allowed cats and dogs to come into the churches and run across the churches, and because they wouldn't go back and fix the door where they came in at. Brother Tommy, can you believe that? Other churches were just plain old in bad shape. And God allowed me to have the knowledge to be able to build and to construct and to remodel almost everywhere I went. I started two missions, one out in Hinton, Oklahoma. The church is still going, barely. One in Guadalupe, Costa Rica, English-speaking mission in a Spanish-speaking country. Costa Rica, now it's not Puerto Rico, Costa Rica, Central America. I taught at an English-speaking class there, mainly Americans, Canadians, and a few Costa Ricans that could speak English. And we had a great service every Sunday afternoon. I enjoyed it. Baptized a few. Lord blessed. I've had the opportunity in my life, I think, to preach about 15 different states. including Hawaii. I helped build churches for the last, 2006 to about 2020. I went across the United States as church builders with the Macedonians a lot of times, with the Arkansas builders in Arkansas, the Texas builders down in Texas, different ones all across the United States. Built churches from ground up, many of them. I helped to do mainly, I could do anything, but mainly I stayed with electrical in those. Had an electrical buddy that was a master electrician, and he said, I want this done, and that's what I did. And I told him, I said, you leave me alone, and you stay with the boxes and the main runs, and I'll take care of all the little stuff. And that's the way we did all across different states, all across the United States for almost 20 years, or a good 15. But I have great memories of this church. I've preached here while Brother Troy is here. Brother Lance Spiller was here. I've preached many times. Preached for Brother Hired when he was still alive. That was my home church. That's where I was saved years ago. And I guess I met a member of every Missionary Baptist Church in Sequoia County. Yep. Roland here. Salisaw, when Brother Isaac was up Salisaw, and Vian, of course I pastored there, as he said earlier. Had a good time in Vian. We added on to that church while I was there also. If you stand to your feet, I'd like to read from a good simple verse. All of you have heard this preached on 1,000 times. You just say, well, this is an old message. I've heard it 1,000 times. The preacher not preaching anything new to me, and you're right, because I'm an old preacher, and no matter how many times you preach the God's word, it's always good to preach it again. Amen. It never gets old. I don't know how many messages. I tell you, one time I was trying to count up how many messages I preached on John 3:16. You know, if you take John 3:16 and go at it in different angles, different directions, you could probably preach 50 messages on that one verse. It never gets old either, does it? Never gets old. Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, we're going to read. We'll start reading at verse 8. My message today is going to be on witnessing. Being a witness for God. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it said, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and in Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth. And when he had spake these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sights. And while they looked steadfast towards heaven, and he went up, behold, two men stood in white apparel, which also said, you men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. What a blessing. That word right, that last verse there is a blessing. That's what I'm looking forward for, when the Lord shall come. Amen? Amen. How many looking for the Lord coming?
Amen.
Amen. All right, let's bow our head in prayer. Lord, we thank you for the many blessings. We thank you, Lord, for the word. We thank you, Lord, for each one that's here. We ask you, Lord, that whatever I say would be a blessing to you and to glorify your name. Thank you, Lord, for all the opportunity you've given me. And thank you, Lord, for this opportunity this morning. Isaac giving up his time, oh Lord, and just... We thank you, Lord, so much for him, and ask you, Lord, just bless and everything that we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. I call this the first missionary conference that the Lord had. He was sitting here talking to his disciples, and it was the last time he'd be meet with them before he ascends up into heaven, as we just read. Think about the opportunity they had. Think about the opportunity the disciples had when they were sitting there with Jesus and he is telling them about what they should do in verse 8. He said, you stay right here in Jerusalem and you wait for a power. You wait for the Holy Spirit to come upon you so that you can be a more powerful witness for me. That's a blessing. Amen. The missionaries were supposed to be, it says, going into the othermost parts of the world. We know over there in Matthew, if you want to turn there with me, Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 and 19 and 20, it says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, all the powers given to me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things that I have, whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Where are we to go? In the whole world. Amen. We are to be missionaries. We are to be witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ throughout the whole world. Amen. And some people say, well, what is witnessing? What is it about witnessing? Well, I think about many times. It says, you shall be witnesses. What is the responsibility of a witness in the first place? Well, if we're in court today, and the lawyer is standing there and they're asking you a question about what did you see, or what did you hear, or what do you know about this case, we tell them exactly what we know. Now, some people get on the stand, as we know, they lie. And some of them just simply cannot say the simple truth. They got to stretch the truth. But that's not what Jesus is wanting us to do. He's wanting us to tell the truth about him. Amen. Tell what we know. Or if you see an accident, you go out here and you see an accident and you know 10 people can see that accident. And you ask those 10 people, what did you see? What do you know about it? And most of the time, you'll get 10 different answers. Is that not true? Because everybody sees it different. And the reason why I point that out is we as witnesses, we're all different. Every one of us. God deals with each one of us differently. What you know about Jesus and how Jesus touched you is totally different than how he touched me. Now, it's all the same as salvation. It's only through Jesus Christ. We know that. But he dealt with you, Brother Tommy, and dealt with you, Brother Steve, and dealt with me and Brother Isaac differently. He doesn't deal with us the same. We have different backgrounds. We have different things. We have different things in our mind. We were raised different. We have different opinions. But we are to be witnesses unto him. Tell what we know about Jesus. If you love Jesus, tell people about it. If you know that Jesus loves you, tell people about it. You know, I tell you people, how many of y'all ever go through any trials or tribulations in your life? Everybody? Sure we do. But God's with us. But he works with me differently than he does you. But I can go and tell, say, Brother Mike, you know, I'm going through a trial. And God is really working with me in my life. He's really working with me in my life. And I can tell Brother Mike about it. And he said, you know, I went through something similar to that, but God worked with me in a different way. But God loves us. He cares for us. He leads us. He directs us. He's our shepherd. People, he loved us enough that he gave his only life for us. We can tell people about the love of God. Oh, I tell you, there's no end how much that I could preach if I sat here and preached about God's love. But if you know you've been saved, tell people about it. I was saved on January 26, 1958. This coming year it'll be, what would that be? 68 years. Long time. Rita may be longer than I, but she'd be about the only one I know in here that's longer than I am. We went to the same church at one time. Well, twice, really. Roland and then also here at Muldrow. I can remember at Zion Missionary Baptist Church, Brother Raymond Hyde was a pastor. We had three rows of pews in that church, one in the center and two on the outside. And most of the young people sat back on the back row. That's where I like to sit. My wife don't like to sit there, but that's where I like to sit. Always I like to sit on the back row. People said, why? So I said, I can see what everybody else is doing. But I like to sit on that back row. And a lot of times if you sit on the back row, you can get away with stuff because nobody can see what you're doing. Now, that was my main objective when I was younger. But I remember back then, the old preachers, they preached on hellfire and damnation. And I mean, they preached it, and sometimes you felt like, the fire's going to get you that day. If you didn't turn your life over to the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to go to hell and you're going to burn up. That's what I remember when I was a child. And I worried about that, and I thought about it, and I prayed about it, and I talked to the Lord about it, and I almost made the effort to step out and go forward to God. One Sunday morning, I finally, with God's help, with the Lord's help, I took that first step. And I always dreaded walking down that aisle because I thought everybody would be looking at you. When I took that first step, I didn't care whether anybody's looking at me or not. But I'm going to tell you one thing, what I really believe in my heart, the moment I took that first step, I was saved that minute. Because, see, that's when I made my commitment to God right there. I didn't have to word a prayer because God knew what was in my mind and in my heart that I wanted to be saved that moment. And I took that step and I walked down that aisle. And I remember Brother Doug Moore was an old deacon at that time. He sang a great bass. He knelt there with me and prayed with me. Yes, I did pray a prayer that God would forgive me of my sins. And I'm going to tell you, people, I don't know how your experience. See, it's just what everybody's different. But I felt like there was something like a heavy weight taken off of me that moment. When I walked from there to there, I was totally different. Because God saved me. If you tell about your experience, I'm sure it would probably be totally different. But I can tell people about my experience. And that's what God wants us to do, be witnesses for Him. We can't tell people about something that we don't know about, although some people do. All you got to do is listen to some people. They tell you about everything. They know everything. I'm not one of those. I don't really know nothing. The older I get, the more I figure out I don't know really anything. And sometimes it pays off when you're old like I am. If you know something, people expect you to do something. So if you don't know anything, they don't expect you to do nothing. My brother calls me all the time. What are you doing? I'm sitting here in the chair watching TV. Right, Roger? Amen. My son calls me about two or three times a week. And he said, Dad, what are you doing? I said, sitting here in a chair watching TV. Well, my son always said, well, that ain't a bad thing. Now, Roger always said, you ought to be out working. So always, you ought to be out working. I ought to be out working. I told him, I said, you work yourself to death. I'm just going to take it easy. At 79, and if I was a little kid, I'd say 79 and a half. I think I ought to be able to take it easy. No, 78 and a half. Almost 79. I love that the Lord saved me. I'm thankful that he touched my heart. He had to do it. He had to do it. I didn't do it. A lot of people say, oh, I found Jesus. No, Jesus found you. He touched you. He showed you the way. Amen. You know, I think about what Peter was a great witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. He made a lot of mistakes. But at Pentecost, he was preaching the gospel, telling about how Jesus had been crucified, how he was buried, and how he rose again. He was preaching it hard, and it's over at Pentecost, over 3,000 souls saved that day. If we had if we had 30 people in this church saved at one time, we'd probably all faint. And we'd be worried about how they were going to get them all in the building. And next thing you know, we'd be at the build or something because we just ain't got room because we added 30 more people to our church. They added 3,000 people that day. And they continued every day adding people. They didn't just quit. They kept witnessing. All those people went out and started witnessing. And it just went on and on and on throughout all the countries. I think about poor old Philip. He was sent down there to the eunuch. And the eunuch was reading a message, or part of the scriptures in Isaiah there. And he said, do you understand what you're reading? And he said, no, I don't really understand that. He said, let me tell you about it. It's about Jesus who's going to come as a lamb and going to be sacrificed, going to die for your sins. And he preached Jesus to him. Amen. And he was saved. Amen. Amen. Think about old Paul being a witness. Paul went across all parts of the country there at the time. But when he's sitting there in front of King Agrippa, he told King Agrippa how the Lord had saved him on the road to Damascus, how he would follow the Lord Jesus Christ, and how he had nothing else to say, but Jesus did it all for him. And old Agrippa said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. What a shame. He had the opportunity right then. He didn't take it. But see, Paul done his part. As we should do our part. Who are to be witnesses? Every saved person can witness. Amen. Every saved person can witness to God. The Lord says to be witness unto him and make known. Who are we to be witnessing for? I think I made it very clear. We would be witness about Jesus Christ and what he's done for us. Tell others about how Jesus came to you and that you were saved. That's the main part right there. Everybody, if you're a saved individual, you can tell other people about how Jesus saved you. You can tell people about what you experienced yourself personally. Now, if I had the time, I'd ask 3 or 4 people if we'd just stand up and give me your testimony when you were saved. And I promise you, almost every one of them would be different. I've told you mine. And I don't regret that. I don't regret that moment, not one second. We are to tell of his miracle, of his birth. We've read the Bible. You've read the Bible. You've heard Brother Isaac preach. If you don't believe it, just hang on a little bit later. We're getting ready to go through December, and he'll probably preach about the birth of Jesus Christ. That's Christmas time. Amen? That's right. And then some people only know about the death and the birth because that's the only time they come to church, Christmas and Easter. But there's more in it than that. There's a life of Jesus Christ. And we're to tell about his life, how he lived and the miracles he performed and how he worked with people and how he healed people and how he loved people, how he was willing to give his life for people, how he died upon the cross of Calvary, how he came and gave his life. He was the Son of God, gave his life on the cross that we might have eternal life. He was buried, but more important than that, he arose. And he was resurrected to be with God. We can tell that. If you've been saved, that's what it's all about. That's what the gospel is about. The death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Jesus Christ. We can sure tell about his second coming, oh Lord. I thought about many verses. And I know people think, well, there are so many verses, yes, there are, about his return. I'm looking for his return. At my age, there's a lot of things you don't want to look to. All the problems that you have every day and all the aches and pains that we go through every day and all the possibilities that could arise every day. And we think, Lord Jesus, please come. John chapter 14. We'll start off reading verse 1. He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you might be also. Amen. That's a promise. That's the Lord speaking. If you look in your Bible, that's a red letters, Lord speaking to his disciples, said, I'm going to go away, but I'm going to come again. When I come, I'm going to come for you. The one who have accepted me as our personal Savior. And whether I go, you know, and the way you know. But Thomas said from there, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way? And we know John 14:6, everybody knows it. Said, the Lord said unto them, he says, I am the what? The way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father, what? But by me. I'm trying to think of the verse right quick. Yeah, 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We read in verse 13 where the coming of the Lord and talks about his coming. He said, but I would not have you ignorant, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those which are asleep, and that you sorrow not, even as others that have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with them. You know, I thought about that many, many times. And sometimes I sort of skip over the word, but all the dead shall come forth. But you got to remember, when you die, absent from the body, what? Present with the Lord. Our bodies are still here, right? Our bodies are still here, but we're up there with the Lord. But when he comes again in the cloud someday to call us all out, those people that's already there, they're going to come back with him. They're going to come with me, because that's what he said. They will be with me. And I thought, you know, what a blessing. For this we shall say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Wow. But just in a twinkling of an eye, we which are alive also shall be changed, and it says, Then which we are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. People, that's our hope. That's a blessing that we have to look forward to. That someday, all of us Christians, even if we don't get along with each other down here very well, up there we're going to be together and we'll get along with each other. Amen? Because we're going to have love like Christ's love. We love each other. We know each other. And Christ is going to be right there with us. My Lord and Savior, my Shepherd, my Master. You know, our goal when we're witnesses is not so much to how much we impress people with our knowledge. I know a lot of people think, well, you know, I got to know all about the Word and I got to be able to answer every question. And if I'm out witnessing, somebody might ask me a question and I can't answer it. And I've had many, many times people ask me questions, Brother Eddie, what do you think about so-and-so? And I say, I can't really tell you right now. But let me study up on it and I'll get you an answer. Instead of saying something that I don't know what I'm talking about and then look like a fool, which a lot of times I do anyhow, I would thought, say, just give me a little time. And let me study that out and I'll come back with you. Sometimes I've even disagreed with my deacons. I know we'll forget, the first church I pastored was at Corinth. And one of the deacons come, Brother Eddie, I don't think you preached that right. That was my first church. About a year after I surrendered to preach, I took this church. I'd preached down there to them for 6 months or more before they actually finally called me. I guess they finally thought they wasn't going to get rid of me. They might as well call me as their pastor. And he was an older deacon, and I had a lot of respect for him. I thought, well, brother, I thought I knew what I was preaching about that, but let me study it out. And I went back and I studied it out to myself again. And of course, I wasn't very smart. He was a lot older than I was, and he's probably a lot smarter than I was. But you know, being a young preacher, you couldn't say you didn't know anything. You had to know something. And I went back to him. I said, "Brother, I still believe it the way I preached it." Now I said, "I see your point. But I can see my point too." Now some people don't like that, but he just said, "Well, Brother Eddie, I appreciate you at least studying it out, and you had to take the time to do that." And he went right on. He didn't bother me anymore about it. He just accepted it and moved on. Of course, they were nice to young preachers down there. They run them through quite often. Almost every pastor they usually had was, that's the first church they pastored, and they knew a lot of us didn't know anything, and I didn't, and I preached messages down there. I thought, you know, come on. I took his first church and I thought, man, I was working still yet. I think they agreed to pay me $110 a week. That was one of my better churches. And I had to work to make a living for my family, pay for the houses, cars, everything. But they wanted me to preach Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, plus a radio program. That's where I met Ethelda. Well, she was a member of that church, but she mainly worked on a radio program. Well, can you believe Ethelda done a radio? She did back then. And I'd have to think, I started doing it live, and then I thought, wait a minute. Man, I do that live Sunday morning and then come back, preach Sunday morning service, and then preach Sunday night service. I started taping it. I took my little tapes in, they run the tapes. Supposed to have been just a 15-minute little sermon. Then the pastor was supposed to take the other 15 minutes was another Missionary Baptist church. There was about 100 right around that area there and around Ozark. I said if I could take a rifle, I could probably shoot five of them with a rifle. they're that close. Because, I mean, there'd be one down the road here about a mile, and be one over here road about another mile, and be over here on this road. It's because they all got mad at each other, and they moved off and started another church. No, not really. Some of them was old communities, back when the communities were there, and they'd be with the community there, and they never left, even though they only had is family, and that's all right. There's a lot of good family churches. I love family churches. But I thought, here I am, brand new preacher, and preaching four messages a week, trying to get those messages together. That was a difficult problem. And I felt sorry for the people, because I know other messages wasn't that good. But they put up with me in the end. They loved me. But I wasn't there to tell people how much, or try to show people how much I knew. I just wanted to tell them about Jesus. There's a lot of people know a lot more than I do. And some of them know more about the Bible, and they're going straight to hell. God expects us just to tell them about Jesus Christ and about what he's done for us and how he deals with us. Because Jesus is the only way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He's the only way. He's the one we need to be talking about. Where are we to go? Well, the Bible says Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, uttermost parts of the earth. Well, Brother Eddie, we're not over there. I don't know what you want to be over there right now with all the war stuff going on, but I've been there and it's a beautiful country. I've been a part of different parts of the country and I've traveled to different countries in my lifetime. God has blessed me with that. I've got to preach in different places I never thought I'd preach, and I got to tell people about Jesus Christ. Even when I was there in Jerusalem, we were with a group, not a religious group, but a group. Some of them were very religious, some of them wasn't very religious, and I got to talk to them about Jesus Christ even there. That's all he expects. And that's all he expects out of us. Just tell him about him and what he's done for us, how much he loved us, what we can do. People, where are we to go? Everywhere. At your work, at school, at your businesses, anywhere you might be, any acquaintance, in your home. That's sometimes the most difficult place to be a witness is right in your own home. Witness to your families. Some of you people you know that you, let me ask y'all this. How many of y'all people know a lost person? Just raise your hand if you know a lost person. Well, people, if you don't know a lost person, you're not getting around very much, because there's a lot of lost people out there in this world. Amen. Find somebody you think that you wouldn't even think you'd like to talk to. They may be lost, and you can talk to them about Jesus Christ. If you make them mad, then you hadn't really lost a friend. Amen? I used to tell people, you know, I was afraid to talk to some of my close relatives and close friends and stuff, because I want them to be my friends. Then I thought about, well, if they're lost, I have a responsibility to tell them whether they don't like me or not. I've done my part. Now, if they refuse and get mad at me for them talking about Jesus Christ, then I've done my very best. That's all that God expects. Where are we to preach? Everywhere. The whole world. No end. How important is it that we preach the gospel and tell people about Jesus Christ? How important is it that we be witnesses? Some people, it may make the difference between where they go to heaven or they go to hell. That's how important it is. Live your life as a witness. Let people see Christ in you. We're all going to have to give an account someday of what we've done while we're upon this earth. The Bible tells us that over in Romans 14:12. It says, so then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Every person, every Christian, going to have to give an account of ourselves to God. You said, brother, how can I be the most effective witness? I'll tell you this. As the song leaders come and get ready for a song of invitation, how can you be most effective? Pray before you go witness. Pray to God that he will lead you to the right person. Amen? Pray to God that he'll give you the words that you can tell others about Jesus Christ. Let God be the leader. And I'll tell you, people, you won't fail. I've seen many people, and I've had a part in leading many people, the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of them I would have never expected would ever turn their lives over to Jesus Christ. The statistics say 5% of the Christians, only 5% lead somebody else to Christ. 95% of the Christians never lead a person to Christ. God gave me a great opportunity. I'm thankful for it. He's blessed me so much in my life to preach where I've preached and go where I've got to go. See people saved. See people's lives turned around. See families turned around. That's been such a great blessing. I give God all the praise. It's not what I did, but what he's done through me. And I pray that each one of you this morning received blessings just from what listening. I'll have Brother Isaac, if he'd come forward and close the service. As we sing, Brother Dean.
Savior, you know somebody who